Only a Game is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
The Olympics, a movable feast. Likewise, various other championship events, such as soccer's World Cup, which has transpired in Europe, in South America, in the U.S., in Asia, and in South Africa. So why shouldn't the Highland Games World Championship, kilts, bagpipes, and all, be contested in New Hampshire? Only a Game's Karen Given has our story.
One weekend every September, visitors to Loon Mountain Ski Resort in Lincoln, New Hampshire, can stand under the Kangamangas Express quad chairlift, close their eyes, and imagine themselves in the highlands of Scotland. The air is crisp, the sound of bagpipes floats by on the wind, and a big guy in a skirt is about to pick up a 16-pound river rock and fling it across a grassy field.
As we said, it'll be hard to beat this one.
These are the New Hampshire Highland Games, where a dozen or so of the best professionals in the sport gather every fall to test their strength and skill. But 2011 is special. New Hampshire is hosting the 31st International Highland Games Federation World Championship, which means visitors aren't just seeing very good competitors, says former world champion Francis Brebner. They're seeing the best.
Competing here is the best period. It's then in a ranking system to ensure that the best's here. They're going to make the cut. If they don't, they're not invited.
The competitors have all their expenses covered by the games, and there's a $38,000 prize purse on the line. Not bad for 3 days' worth of work. Anne Brebner says the competition for the world championship title is just as fierce as the competition for which festival will win the right to host the world championship.
We're actually booked up till 2015 for the championships, you know.
Kind of like the Olympics. Then.
Yes, just like the Olympics each year. You know, it could be in Australia, it could be New Zealand. You'll find Scots people in every neck of the woods, so to speak, you know.
Dressed in a blue and red kilt, accessorized with hot pink knee socks and bike shorts, rookie Matt Vincent from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, isn't one of those Scots people.
No, not at all. I think I have French heritage. I'm really an outcast.
Is that what the pink socks are?
That's it. I just like to keep it light, have a good time. I don't throw well or do anything real well if I take it too serious. So it's not so serious. We're all in skirts.
Like most of the weekend's competitors, Vincent didn't come to this sport because it was in his blood. After competing in the shot put, discus, and hammer at LSU, he just wanted to find his way back to throwing. Ray DeMonte, one of the weekend's sponsors, didn't come to this event through his heritage either.
My motto is, what Scottish game is complete without an Italian award? And so they win the DeMonte Cup.
DeMonte is clearly proud of these athletes, and the International Highland Games Federation works hard to make sure it stays that way. These throwers are drug tested at random throughout the season, and again before and after the World Championship.
We got smart, hard-working people, a lot of firemen, a lot of policemen, a lot of farmers, construction workers, steel workers, and they all have that day job and do this for fun.
Matt Vincent certainly seems like he's having fun, as his second throw comes within a few inches of a new world championship record. As Vincent lines up for his third and final attempt, announcer David Webster abandons any semblance of impartiality and works up the crowd.
So cheer, cheer, cheer to your heart's content that we might get a record. Come on, Matt, we want the record. Come on, then. Come on, let's see it. Come on now.
Just as with his first try, Vincent's final effort is disqualified. Even with only one legal throw, he wins the competition easily and watches with a smile as the officials measure his last attempt, which would have been a record had he not stepped over the line.
Oh, dearie dear. You know, it would bring a tear to a glass eye.
Even more tear-worthy, this is Vincent's first competition as a professional. Had he thrown like he did today at the Amateur World Championship this summer, he would have set a new amateur world record and earned a cash prize. But Hans Lokema from the Netherlands isn't worried about such things.
I get lots of money. I can retire next week, actually. No, of course not.
Lokema didn't discover the Highland Games until his late 30s, when he saw a demonstration in his hometown. 8 years later, he says he loves everything about this sport. Just don't ask him to tell you what tartan he's wearing.
I have no idea. I just picked one. I just called the guy and I said I need a kilt. And he sent me over a kilt. I paid him some money and that's it. I have no idea what tartan it is.
It doesn't matter.
No.
Do you like the colors?
Oh, that's not bad.
Bill Crawford, chairman of the athletics committee, says it doesn't matter what tartan a competitor chooses to wear. Clan affiliations aren't followed, nor is that old Scottish tradition that dictates a man shouldn't wear anything under his kilt.
No, they have to wear something. They're turning and the things are flying around. That's poor form.
Crawford is more than just the athletic director for the games. He's also a former pro thrower. And he's a great resource if you can catch him between phone calls. On the first day of the games, his Scotland the Brave ringtone sounded 114 times.
But you were saying you see these... Oh!
Good throw.
Hello?
Daniel McKim is the reigning American champion, and as such, he's the favorite to win the world championship. But don't worry, he's not giving up his day job.
When I'm not doing this, I'm a hand model. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not a hand model.
I would suspect you've got pretty big
hands.
Yeah,
calluses and broken fingernails and stuff. No.
McKim spends his days in a small cubicle, managing a portfolio of commercial mortgages for a bank in Kansas City, Missouri. He says at 6'5" and 300 pounds, his coworkers compare him to Mr. Incredible. He, too, started out as a shot put and discus thrower in college. But how did he learn to toss the caber, a 20-foot-long log that looks a bit like a telephone pole?
A lot of time in the gym, and a lot of time, honestly, just watching video, getting online, watching some of the guys that have come before you.
There probably aren't many caber toss coaches from where you're from.
No, there definitely are not. So it's a lot of going out in the field and just trying to figure the crazy thing out yourself.
Can you do it? Can you do it? Look at that caber skid along the ground. It's just, it must be heartbreaking for the competitors.
Heartbreaking for the competitors, but it's just about right for athletic director Bill Crawford. He prides himself on choosing good competition cabers, and because today is the world championship, he picked one that's 20 feet long and weighs 145 pounds.
As they would say in Scotland, it's a dour stick. It's a dour stick. In other words, a lot of times you pick up cabers that has a little movement in it, and you can feel it against your shoulder. It's like a rock. You pick it up, you can't feel it. You don't know where you are.
Crawford doesn't take pleasure in the disappointment of the athletes. After all, he's a former professional himself. But he says it's easier on the judges if only one or two throwers manage to get the caber to turn over.
Plus, too, you've seen there's been several failures, and then somebody tosses it. The big, big noise.
Yeah, the crowd loves it. Everyone gets really excited.
Yes, this is the signature of Highland Games. Here we go. Over. That's what it sounds like when you get a really huge caber toss. You hear the excited athlete in the background. The thing that you want to do is actually separate out the crowd of athletes. And that's what this caber does.
Rookie Matt Vincent manages to flip the caber, as does American champion Daniel McKim. And as announcer David Webster's been predicting all along, McKim walks away with a world championship title. It's not surprising that Webster can pick the winner. He's also considered the foremost Highland Games historian and has been involved with the World Championship since the very beginning. In 1995, Queen Elizabeth awarded him the Order of the British Empire for his contributions to the sport, which has grown beyond his expectations.
We now have 20-plus games in Germany. We've got 15 in the Netherlands. We've got in Belgium, Switzerland, France. All these do Highland Games now. America is the best. They've got the most games. They've got more than Scotland now.
The fact that there's an American atop the world rankings of a decidedly Scottish sport doesn't bother Webster in the least. After all, that's one of the reasons he started the World Championship 31 years ago.
Well, you know, every country likes to think that they're the best. We thought in Scotland that we were the best, and we were at that time. People in Scotland had phony championships. I'm not saying it was wrong, but, you know, they'd give it a title. now we can say this title is justified. They're coming. We are looking at the scores. We're selecting the best men, and we're doing drug testing. You can be proud nowadays to win a world title.
For Only a Game, I'm Karen Gibbon.
Karen Given's story about the Highland Games World Championship will be featured in this week's program. We'll also be updating the race for the wild card spots in both the major leagues, and I'll be speaking with Clay Callum about the WNBA postseason, which is currently underway. Golf.com's Alan Shipnuck will join me to discuss the very bright future of Lexi Thompson, the youngest woman ever to win an LPGA tournament. And I'll be speaking with Ledger Grindin, who has written a book about how boxing has been presented on the big screen over the years. I could have been a contender, he weren't no good, but he never took a dive, yo Adrian, and so on. So join us, and remember, you can always listen to the program at onlyagame.org.